So Tones had a nice relaxing break, and I think he's come back to some hectic preparation. So Tones, thanks so much for being willing to prepare. And let's just pray for Tony. Lord, thank you so much for Tony and the word that you've put in his heart. Now just pray that you'd give him lots of boldness and peace in his heart as he shares today. So thank you for him, and we just pray that you'd help us to listen with open ears and open hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, thanks, Doug. Morning, Crossways. How are you? I hope you all had a wonderful Christmas. We had a lovely holiday. We were away in Hugger Hugger. I don't know if you've been down there. It's a beautiful part of the country, down on the Eastern Cape, a long, long way away. But we had a wonderful time, and I hope you've had a wonderful time too. So today, we actually in the last sermon of a series from Isaiah 9, verse 6, which is a prophecy from Isaiah. And so if you would turn with me to Isaiah 9. I'm just going to get that right. And if you'll just read with me, we're just going to read the prophecy again, and then we're going to reflect on the scripture. For to us a child is born, but there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the later time he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in the battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Amen. And so when you look at the scripture and where we've come from, as I said, it's a four-part series. And so we've been looking at the four names or titles that were given to Jesus in this prophecy, the messianic prophecy of Isaiah about the coming Christ, about Jesus coming into the world. And those four titles were Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and today we're looking at Prince of Peace. Jesus, our Prince of Peace. As in biblical times and today, names are given a lot of importance. There's a lot of importance in the meaning behind the name. And parents even today will try and pick names which will hopefully be some way prophetic about who the person will be. And I'm really pleased that my parents came up with Anthony or Anthony, because it was meant to be Linda. I was meant to be Linda. I'm glad I'm not Linda on a number of levels. But I'm glad I'm not Linda because Linda means soft and pretty, which is not great from where I'm standing anyway. Or in Germanic, it actually means serpent. So also I'd rather pass on that one. So it depends on where you look about your meaning of your name is. Anthony is highly praiseworthy, so that's pretty cool. I'll stick with Anthony. And so each of our names, there's an inherent meaning behind your name, and in the Bible, these are very prophetic. And so when you look at some biblical names, we think of people like David. His name means beloved. And with his relationship with God and how God loved David, it's a very prophetic name in many ways. Esau means hairy. So so unlucky on that one. But yeah, he was Harry, and maybe he got his name once he was born, and that's why Harry. Shame. Others, like I think Peter means stone or rock, and Jesus did give Peter that name, but whilst it was post-birth, it was prophetic because he was to become the rock on which the church was built. And Jesus, as we know, means God is Savior, or God saves. God saves. And so these are very prophetic names. God himself puts a lot of emphasis, a lot of importance on names, because he gives himself, there are names that he names himself, which are very prophetic, not prophetic, they're very descriptive of who he is. All right, and so we have God our provider, and God of peace is El Shalom, and so forth and so on. I've got a couple of names there that I can pick out for you about who God is. God Almighty, these are all names that God gives himself. And in this scripture, very interestingly, Isaiah, in the prophecy, gives Jesus these four names. What's quite interesting about that is that the four names that he gives to Jesus, for us a child is born, that's Jesus, are the same names that God gives himself. And isn't that interesting? Because you would think that maybe Jesus would have different names, maybe, to be named by. But it's not. They're exactly the same names in many ways that God gives himself. God Almighty, as an example. Maybe you can flick back a slide there. Please, Pat, thanks. As an example. Everlasting Father is another one. Wonderful Counselor, who do we associate that name with? Who do we associate that name with? The Holy Spirit. And then Prince of Peace is also a God name. And so what's so cool about that is that we get an understanding that Jesus is Jesus incarnate, God incarnate, Emmanuel, God with us. It is truly Jesus, God with us. He is fully God, and he is with us in person, the child to be born, God is coming. And so it's a messianic prophecy about God coming in person, about Jesus being God. And what's so cool about that is if we consider that, and we take that deeper understanding, it means that Jesus is our wonderful Counselor, our mighty God, our everlasting Father, our Prince of Peace, for each one of us personally and for now. God is that for you now and that personally. If we put this this prophecy in context, and we take a step back for a minute, and we look at it as a whole, the Jewish nation would have taken this prophecy and considered this very carefully as a messianic prophecy, whereby the Messiah was going to come to restore the nation of Israel, to restore the nation of Israel back to its former glory. And so when you look at the wording there, it mentions a lot about the people and us. It's very corporate. It's about borders and boundaries and peace and victory over the oppressors, the enemies. It was a very earthly, Messiah was come and create a very earthly victorious system for the nation of Israel. What we know, and what Pete articulated so well in the breaking of the bread, is actually Jesus did not come for those purposes. He came for another kingdom. He came for a kingdom which is within ourselves. He came for the spiritual kingdom which that he would come and establish here on earth and in our hearts. In Matthew, there's a scripture where the Pharisees are questioning Jesus, and they're saying, because Jesus, I think in Matthew there's something like 52 records of where Jesus speaks about the kingdom coming. Here on earth, and about the Messiah, and about him being the Messiah. And sorry, this fan is giving me the zigzag. And so the Pharisees are questioning Jesus, and they say, well, when is this kingdom going to come? And he says, it's not for you to know when the kingdom's going to come, because the kingdom is within your heart. It's within you. It's inside of you. Jesus came to establish a kingdom within us. And so when you look at the Prince of Peace, we have the Prince of Peace inside of us. Peace is something we are meant to have within us. Peace is something that we are given through our relationship with Jesus. And so let's look at the word, and we'll flick the slide. Let's look at the words Prince of Peace, and let's get an understanding of what Prince of Peace means. To be a prince is to be an exalted person, clothed with authority, on which is bestowed entire and sole rule over his dominion. So Jesus is the sole source of peace. Jesus is peace, and he has dominion over peace. The word prince means that he is peace to us, and he has won peace for us. The word peace itself in this is taken from the Hebrew word shalom. And what's interesting about the word shalom is it means completeness or wholeness or inner harmony. And so the peace that is referred to here is not just an absence of strife or conflict or trouble even. The word peace here is about an inner peace that God gives, an inner completeness. Where else have you seen or heard in Scripture about Jesus talking about wholeness or fullness? Can anyone remember? And John, he talks about, I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. So the peace that Jesus gives us is a fullness, it's a completeness. It's an inner peace, it's a strength. An inner strength and a calmness, a sereneness, a harmony that we have even in the midst of trouble, even in the midst of conflict. There's some scriptures where Jesus says he didn't even come to absolve conflict. In some instances, he came to create conflict. Not conflict animosity, but because of who he is and because of who we are, we become antagonistic. We're in enmity with the world. We're not of the world. There's an enmity between us and the world. And so he didn't come to create us to be all at peace with the world and what the world does in the world system. In fact, he came to set us apart from the world system. But despite that, and despite that conflict, and despite the conflicts and the troubles that are here in this world, and the difficulties that we might face in this world, Jesus has come that we may have a complete peace, a full peace, and to be able to live full lives in him, despite those things. And isn't that awesome? Jesus says, next slide, thanks Pat. Jesus says, the peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, in John 14:27. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Let me read that again. The peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. And this is that shalom peace that is referred to in the scripture. The fact that Jesus wants to give us peace, we have access to his peace in our lives, which is not something that the world can give. Can you see in that scripture, quite interesting there, where it says there, it doesn't say, I do not give you the world's peace. It just says, I don't give you what the world gives. And the reality is that the world cannot give you peace. There's nothing in this world that can give you peace. So if you're seeking peace through harmonious relationships, by being a people pleaser, by making yourself comfortable financially, by working really hard to be independent, and none of those things are necessarily all bad things, but if that's where you think your peace is going to come from, you're sorely mistaken. Because as I said to you before, the authority that Jesus has been given in terms of peace is that our only source of peace is him. He is the only source of peace. He is the only source of true peace. He is the only source of shalom peace. The world cannot give us peace. The world promises us a lot of things, like shiny white teeth. If you use Sensodyne, gentle whitening. I use that. Is it right? They can offer you other things, maybe subtly, You can. Yours are better than mine. What are you using? Maintenance, okay, yeah. It can offer you lots of other things. It can offer you, you know, maybe it can offer you some respect if you've got that C-Class Mercedes, maybe. Maybe. But it's transient, and it's not going to get you very far. Subtly, it offers you, if you work really hard, you can be successful. But have you ever heard of any earthly thing where it says, and this thing is going to give you peace? Have you ever heard of that? I've never heard of any advert or any motivational speaker saying you'll have peace. Because there's only one source of peace, and that peace is Jesus. So where are you seeking your peace from? Peace for me is quite an elusive thing. And I think this is a well-timed message here on New Year's Eve for us as we're going into a new year. For this church, and I really, really feel this strongly that this is well timed. This could have been a Christmas message, it ended up being today, because I think a lot of us don't really live fully in God's peace. And I mentioned myself before you, and I don't know where you're at, but I often find, and you can speak to, Alana will testify to this, but often I'm frustrated and irritable and stressed out and short-tempered sometimes. You're not meant to nod. And I don't know about you guys, but I find peace can be quite elusive for me in this world. And I think, we have this dual citizenship. We've got a citizenship in the world, and we've got the citizenship in heaven. And sometimes the world kind of occupies us more than our spiritual citizenship. And it shouldn't. You know, Jesus never intended for you and I to live without peace. And I think if there's one thing, there are many wiles of the devil, and I don't want to give him my airtime, but I think one of them will be to make us fearful. If you're irritable and short-tempered and stressed out and stuff, the base source of that is fear. It's because you're fearful of something. And the devil will use that because he doesn't want you to be at peace. Because the greatest testimony, one of the greatest testimonies that you can have of being a Christian is someone who lives in peace. With that inner peace that I spoke about, that shalom peace. Because everyone will want that. Everyone will want to know, where does that come from? We should be living with an inner peace day by day. Not with an absence of trouble, not with an absence of conflict, but with an inner peace that comes from Jesus. Obviously the other thing that really makes us shine in the world is love. But peace is something that I find is something like a bit like vapor sometimes. I find it very difficult to get a hold of. And so the Lord has just put two areas, and this is really the main part of the message, and it won't be long, but He's just put two areas on my heart for us to think about, is that Jesus came and won us the victory of peace in two areas. The one is in our relationships, and the other one is in our circumstances. And I just want to talk about that for a minute. If you do not have peace in your relationships, and there are three relationships that I'm going to highlight, and if you don't have peace in your circumstances, then you're not going to have the peace that God offers. And so Jesus came to give us peace with God. He came to reconcile us to the Father. He came to give us peace with ourselves. He won us peace with ourselves. He won us peace with others, and He also won us peace in our circumstances. And so let's look at those four areas as the main part of the message, and reflect on those. So peace with God. In Colossians 1:19 and to 21:22, it says, "For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him," that's Jesus, "and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of all your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Isn't that beautiful? That Jesus came and won us peace with the Father. We had no longer an enmity with the Father. Do you have peace with the Father today? Do you have peace with Father God today? Is your relationship with Father God a good relationship? What's awesome about our fellowship here is that every Sunday we have another opportunity to come to the table to receive the forgiveness and the joy of the intimacy with God through the table, through what Jesus did. And if you have a peace with God, then you can have peace. You can't have the peace of God without having peace with God. And so where we see a lack of peace in the world, or the absence of peace in the world, or in people's hearts in the world, it's because they are not at peace with God. That is the first step. We need to have peace with God. The second thing is that Jesus came to win peace with ourselves. So if we can just go to the next slide. The first point I want to make here is I want to remind you, each of you, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are his perfect creation. In Psalm 139 it says that, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Do you know that? Do you know that God has made you perfect just as you are? Secondly, do you know that he knows the number of hairs on your head? Luke 12:7. You are incredibly valuable to him. He loves you so, so much. He didn't just make you perfect, but he loves you perfectly as well. And thirdly, your sins are forgiven and you are justified before God. He sees you as a sinless and spotless bride. In Romans 8:1 it says, there is now no condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus. And I think this is still a big thing out there. It's still a big thing for Christians. I think for many Christians, true Christians, most of us who have this opportunity to come to the table and be right with God, we have good relationships with Father God. But we still struggle with ourselves. Are you struggling with yourself today? Do you have a low self-image of yourself today? Are you struggling with maybe your sins or your faults or your mistakes? Because God does not want you to live like that. Jesus has come and won you the victory that you can see yourself in the way that he sees you, which is his perfect creation and his spotless bride. I think it's actually sinful, and we all struggle with this at times, but it's actually sinful for us to wallow sometimes in our mistakes and overlook the victory that Jesus has won for us. And I really want us to get a grasp of that. We need to be a little bit more trusting of what God has done for us and understanding that we are perfect in his eyes through Jesus alone. And lastly, peace with others from a relationship point of view. Jesus came to win peace for us to have peace with others. In Ephesians 4:32 it says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. And in 1 Peter 3:8 it says, finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. And I think part of that blessing that we can inherit in from 1 Peter 3:9 is a blessing of peace. If we are forgiving and kind and compassionate and do not repay evil with evil, we will be at peace. Jesus has equipped us and empowered us to be able to live in that way. So my next question to you would be, do you have besides do you have peace with God and do you have peace with yourself, is do you have peace with others? Are you a person who's known to be at peace with others? Are you forgiving? Is there somebody in your past or in your background who you need to forgive? Is there someone in your past who maybe to whom you need to ask forgiveness? Because through Jesus you can do that. Through Jesus you have the power to be able to right those wrongs and be right with others through Jesus. And then we will have peace. So when our relationships are in a good place, and then we will have peace. We'll be free to live in peace. The final thing that I just want to cover with you in terms of a point is peace in our circumstances. And I think this too is quite pertinent. It was pertinent for us in this congregation, in this Hilton community, and in South Africa. In that I think for many of us, we live with a lot of fear. We live with a lot of fear about the circumstances around us. We're concerned, and in many ways rightly, we're concerned and sometimes really anxious about the crime, about the corruption in government, about our financial standing, the dwindling strength of the rand possibly, or investments. And these things make us anxious. And I think it's really an issue for us here. I also see quite a lot of fear in our hearts about our safety. And I know I mentioned crime, but just safety. A strange thing happened to me in preparation coming up into this sermon, but weeks back, I didn't tell Alana about it, but from the beginning of December, I had the weirdest fears just come over me. I've been so anxious about one of my children dying, being lost to me. I mean, that testimony was really awesome, so thank you for sharing. It's a real concern for us. I don't know if it's a South African thing or if it's worldwide, but I was so anxious. I've been gripped with fear that I was going to lose one of my children. And at one stage, I had to drive back from the South Coast to fetch Alana, and I was so fearful I was going to be in a car accident and I was going to die. Not that I was fearful of dying. I was fearful of my family being left without me to help them and provide for them. I actually thought, this is probably my last trip. Weird. I don't normally live like that. I'm not normally like that. I was gripped with fear. And as I mentioned earlier, fear is not from God. Fear is from Satan. And we're not meant to live like that. And so for this past while, I think it's been probably an attack, but I've really been afraid. And it's not to say that those things might not happen. You know, not to say that my child might not pass away or I might not be in an accident. Those things might happen. But we're not meant to live like that because Jesus is in control of all things. He's in control of all things, past, present, and future. And then I think sometimes we don't grasp fully enough His sovereignty and how much He is in control and how much He is doing for our good in the background. And so I think part of our problem in our sinfulness and our weakness is that we like to keep control. We want to know everything is going to be okay. And so we don't venture with God. We don't let God be God. And we don't trust God to be God and to do good in our lives. And we can't live like that, people. We can't live like that. For as long as we live like that, where we're in control and we're on the throne and not God who's Savior and not God who's sovereign, we're going to live with fear. Is God really sovereign in your life? If He's really sovereign in your life, then you will trust Him to do good in your life, despite whatever may come. Whatever may come, God is sovereign. He has got good for you, planned for you in your life. And thanks, Daniel, for your thanksgiving, because it really talks to that. That Psalm 142 talks to that. It talks about, when the psalmist prays there, it talks about, God, You are sovereign, and I know that You will do good in my life, even though where I'm standing right now doesn't look like it, and the people around me don't care, I know that You will do good in my life. And so I have peace. So is God sovereign in your life today, in all things? Are you trusting Him that whatever might come my way, He is in control. I love these two verses as I finish this point. That in Ephesians 11, in Him we are also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him, who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will. He works out everything that's going to happen. Even the minutest detail of your life, He works out in conformity with His will. And we know that His will is good. We know that His will is good. And we know that the will, His will for you is good. His plans for you are good. In Romans 8:28, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him. All things. Difficult, not difficult. Hard, not hard. Joyous, not joyous. Happy, sad. God works for good in all things for those who love Him. So if we just go to the last slide. I really want this to be a message of encouragement. That we do need to self-examine and we need to be challenged. And so the challenge for us today is to ask ourselves, do we have peace in our relationships? God wants us to have peace in our relationships. To have a peace-filled relationship with Him. A peace-filled relationship with ourselves because of who we are in Him. And peace with others, which He has won the victory for. And He also wants us to trust Him, that He is sovereign and that He is control of all things in our lives. And then we will have the peace of God. So in closing, this wonderful scripture really speaks to us about those things. And something that may be a takeaway that we can really cling on to. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Hey, what's the difference between that and the description I gave you of my December? Hey, yeah. What a difference, eh? Rejoice always. Rejoice always. Let your gentleness be evident to all. What does that speak to you out of what I said today? Peace in our relationships, eh? And if you have peace with yourself, you will be gentle. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. Peace with Him. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. I've just got this final slide, and maybe we can pray this. It's an old hymn, and maybe we can pray this together as we go into the new year. May peace reign in our hearts. May this be a year of peace for each of you. That's my prayer for you and for me. That we trust in God for good things, whatever may happen. Let's pray this together. Maybe you just want to read it as I pray it as a prayer. Prince of Peace, control my will. Bid this struggling heart be still. Bid my fears and doubting cease. Hush my spirit into peace. Thou hast bought me with Thy blood. Open wide the gate to God. Peace I ask, but peace must be, Lord, in being one with Thee. May Thy will, not mine, be done. May Thy will and mine be one. Chase the doubtings from my heart. Now my perfect peace impart. Saviour, at Thy feet I fall. Thou my life, my God, my all. Let thy happy servant be one forevermore with me. Amen.
I think what Tony has said today is life-changing if you apply it practically. Just to say that on that day when you went to fetch Alana from home, I was praying for you for that car trip. Because I knew I'd asked Alana when Tony was coming to fetch her. So I prayed for you that car trip, and I really think God answers prayer. Also, we'd prayed on Sunday morning the 17th, in that extension there, Phil, that not one member of our church family would be harmed on the roads this Christmas, this holiday season. And I really think God hears our prayers. I don't think we realize, unless we look back, at just how much God is doing behind the scenes. One day, when we're in heaven and He shows us the story of all the answered prayers, we're going to be absolutely blown away. So we really can celebrate that God is for us. He really is working everything out for good. I thought we'd close the service today with singing a Christian version of Auld Lang Syne, which is called For All That You Have Done. God has done so much and is doing so much in our lives. And so I thought it would be special if we could all just link up as family and as friends and as visitors here. I hope you felt loved today. If we could just link up and sing these beautiful words written by the Rend Collective Group. And they have put their version on Auld Lang Syne. And it's really thanking God for all that He has done, for His goodness in our lives. We're going to do our best to sing it without music. Who else can sing? You sing that. Your grace will never be forgot, Your mercy all my life will be, my soul's forever song, my story and my light. From mountain top to valley low, you have done. Amen.